Good morning. My name is Alex Tamprini, and I've been kindly asked to read this scripture passage on this blessed morning. So please, will you turn with me to John 13, verse 36 through 14, verse 7, which is found on page 1070 of the provided Bibles. Now, hear the word of God. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him."
Thank you, Alex, for reading that scripture passage. Again, I want to call attention to the outline that's in the back of the bulletin. And you'll notice there's just a one-page outline for the message this morning. And then the other, there's also one page for this evening's message. And you'll notice on the back side there's blanks. And I kind of like that because some of you are what are called kinetic listeners. That means you actually listen better if you're doodling or drawing a picture. And I want to mention, if you're going to doodle or draw a picture, please only draw a picture of the sermon, okay, or the Bible passage. And if you do, I wouldn't mind seeing that afterwards. So just want to call attention to that. There are many years, including many years into the ministry, I kind of wondered, and I struggled with this, why did Jesus have to leave? He's telling his disciples very clearly, "I'm leaving you." And he's going to leave earth and go into heaven. You see, I could think of a number of good reasons for Jesus to stay. One of the reasons could be, well, if we need peace negotiations between countries, who's the best peace negotiator, the Prince of Peace? Here comes Jesus. He says, "This is the way you handle it." Or better yet, with these skirmishes in churches, and we have these issues of infralapsarianism versus supralapsarianism, infant baptism or believer's baptism, the list gets longer and longer. Well, let's go to Jesus. He'll straighten us out, and we don't have to part ways then. Why'd he have to leave when he could be doing all that? Or, here's the best one for me. So you skeptics saying that Jesus really is, well, if he's not a myth, he's just a story that doesn't have much to do with us anymore. Oh, yeah? Well, come here. Here's Jesus, physically. And it's documented. He's been here for 2,000 years. How can you deny that? Why do you have to leave? He told his disciples, "I'm going to be leaving you." If you have your Bibles open yet, look at verse 33. He says, In a little while, I'm with you, but later on, you're going to seek me, and where I'm going, you cannot come. Verse 36, we just read that. You cannot follow me, but later you will. He's basically saying, I'm leaving you. That was hard for his disciples. And that's why they are, here's the first blank in the outline, they're disturbed. And you can understand this. Why did he have to leave? They've invested their life in him for 3 years. They've changed their careers, put their old careers behind them, going into this other career. And Jesus is at the top of his game. Powerful preaching. Marvelous miracles. The word's getting around. Here come the crowds. And just when he's at the top of his game, and they're following him, he says, I'm gone. I'm leaving you. No wonder they're troubled. No wonder they're disturbed. And yet Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, why did Jesus leave and ascend into heaven? And you notice here in the outline, I provide a little space here. There's a number of good reasons. One of the reasons is that he's sitting on the throne, the heavenly throne. From that position, he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And if he's seated from there, he has all that power directing all the affairs in heaven and earth from that position. It's a good reason to go. Another reason is he's praying for us. Here on earth, he had to leave his disciples and others many times just to be praying. Now he's in heaven, he's praying for us. But one of the good reasons that Jesus repeated a number of times is, it's only if I go to heaven that I and the Father will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will do greater things than I did. Think about that. Why that's a good reason. You see, if Jesus were here on earth and you wanted to go and talk with him and to settle some dispute, well, okay, you could do that. But pick a number. And your number is 5,364. You're going to have to wait a while these others are ahead of you. One at a time. Whereas now from heaven, he sends his Holy Spirit, working in great things all over the world, transforming the lives of people, leading his people, directing them. And he said clearly to his disciples, I can only do that if I ascend into heaven. So actually, it is better that Jesus went into heaven. But in today's passage, we're going to be seeing another reason that Jesus went into heaven. A beautiful, delightful reason. Look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And there's that blank in the outline, to prepare a place for us. Now, when he says his Father's house, he's not thinking of the temple. Because you can say, like, a place of worship is the house of God, very appropriate when God's people gather together. But that's not what he means here. He has more in mind the idea of our Father who is in heaven. The Father's house in heaven. The place where the Father dwells in all his glory, emanating his glory and power and holiness from heaven. The Father's house in heaven. And he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Now, for those, I don't know about you, I can kind of guess, according to your age, how many of you remember what that word was instead? Instead of rooms, it was mansions. Yeah, I love that word. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. And I just imagine going to the top of the hill, and there I see a mansion with my name on it. Kind of a golden type of castle-type place. Just beautiful mammoth thing. The thing is, that's not the word in the original Greek. That was, that's kind of troubling for me to see what that word actually was. You see, when the King James Version was translated in 1611, mansions meant something totally different. Mansion in 1611 meant a one-room apartment. That's what it meant, just a one-room apartment, and a guest can come, and you can just stay in this room. Boy, did my bubble have to burst there. Oh, what's going on here? What is Jesus saying? It's the idea that you have your own room, your own space. Now, I don't know about you, but as a kid growing up, I never had a room to myself. We always, a family of seven kids, four brothers and two sisters. Well, you're going to always have somebody else in your, you don't have your own bedroom. But a lot of people have their own bedroom. All right, if you have your own bedroom, it's kind of your own space. The covering on your bed, the kind of covering you like. The colors on the walls, whatever the color is painted on the wall. The posters you have on the wall. What you have on your dresser. What you have in your dresser. What do you have in your closet? That space is your space. That's what Jesus is referring to. He's saying, I'm preparing your own space in my Father's room, in my Father's house. That's what he's referring to. And he's saying, there are many rooms. He says, don't worry, this place is going to be big enough where everybody has their own space. It's not going to be where we're crowded, jostling with each other. Everybody can have their own space. It's not going to be crowded. Okay, so Jesus says, I'm going to be leaving you so that I can go to prepare a place for you. What does that mean? How does Jesus prepare a place for us? What is he doing? Well, I have a simple answer. I don't know. Now, there's a number of people sitting here who've done some plenty study that could read it in the Greek and so on and so on, and maybe you've studied this passage more in depth than I have, and I'd appreciate your insights, but I really don't know. But Jesus is saying, I'm preparing your place just for you. Let me tell you what this reminds me of. When I was in college, I went to Dort College in northwest Iowa, which was an hour south from my hometown of Edgerton, Minnesota. And when I went to college, my mom wanted me to come home every weekend, and sometimes I'd just rather stay in college. But she would call me and say, John, I'm going to make your favorite hot dish. I'm going to make asparagus hot dish, and I've got your room ready. And, well, what that meant was that I could go home and I could go in this bed, this old bed. My mom had been widowed twice, so she couldn't afford new beds. So we just had this old bed, and I and my brother slept on this bed, and it sagged in the middle. Yeah. And so we didn't want to be rolling down to the bottom of the sag and bumping into each other at night. So you feel like you're all night climbing uphill to stay on your own side. That bed, I would snuggle into after having a full belly of the best food I could ever eat and gaining 5 pounds over the weekend. But it was home. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a special place like that just for you. That kind of longing you've noticed if you visit anybody who's confined into a nursing home, and they have just their one room, literally just their one room. And I would ask, what's it like here? How is it going? And they said, well, it's kind of a nice bed. They take good care of you. How's the food? Well, it's okay. It's good. But, they say this every time, but it's not home. Jesus is saying, I'm preparing a special place for you. It will be your own space. And when you get there, you look around and you're going to say, I'm home. Jesus says, I'm leaving to do that. Verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. He says, trust me. I'm leaving for your good. I'm going, ascending into heaven, sitting on the throne, because it will actually be better for you. Trust me. I know it's hard for us to be trusting because everybody in our life disappoints us one time or another. Our parents disappoint us. Our friends disappoint us. Your spouse disappoints you. Your kids disappoint you. Everybody at some point in their life disappoints you. But Jesus promises, I do everything for your good, including leaving you, to prepare a place for you. So Jesus is hard at work. He is truly alive. He is doing great and powerful things from heaven. He says, trust me. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Okay. Jesus coming back again to take you to himself. Now, here's another question, and anybody who studied this more in depth than I have, perhaps you've come to a settled conclusion. Does this refer to heaven right now? Or is it the new heavens and the new earth, where heaven and earth will be joined together and we will have our own space here on this planet? Not exactly sure. And there's lots of speculation. When we're talking about heaven, there's speculation. I've been asked these kinds of questions over the years. Will we eat in heaven? Will we have sports and play games in heaven? Will we remember our friends in heaven? Will we have things to do? Will we have work to do in heaven? Will we explore? Will we have pets? Et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what for you is so great about heaven. going through the blanks here. Our settled home is in heaven, therefore do not be troubled. Now this blank. What is so great about heaven? If you had the opportunity to leave and go, well, let's do it this way. I'm wondering how many of you have been through that door there, looked in there. I did one time, and I felt like I was sneaking in there and almost being naughty, looking, peeking in there, what was in there, and well, there is this thing where you can climb up. I thought, I better not do that. So it's kind of an interesting little space. You can actually go outside. If you wanted to leave in a hurry, you could go right out there. Let me ask you, if God were to tell us this morning, instead of going out the back there to get some delicious cake, I'm going to let this door be the entrance directly into heaven. You can leave this earth and go to heaven if you want to, through that door. Let me ask you, would you go through that door? Would you leave? If so, what's drawing you to go into that other side there? Well, there's a number of things that could draw you. You have physical pain. For me, this is unimaginable, but there are some people here who have pain all the time. I don't know if I could handle that. Go through that door and pain gone. An ongoing grief or sadness that you're living with, go through there and it's gone. All the bothersome people, go through that there. Doodaloo. Oh, here's one more important thing. You go through that door, and every bit of your own sin pattern disappears. Also, there's something else on that other side. I'd be curious and interested to see my dad, my stepdad, my brother, and many others who've already left this earth and gone to heaven. What would draw you to go there? Verse 3. Jesus says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus is saying, I'm waiting for you, I'm preparing the place for you, and I'm calling you to be with me. Do you know that's the best thing that we could ever experience going into heaven? To see the one who loves you more than your own mother. To see the one who went through hell for you, literally. The one who's working everything out for your good in this life. The one who's reigning right now and praying for you. The one who did all of this for you. You're going to see him. And if he allows this, he would even allow you to hug him. Jesus is saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you may be where I am. By the way, the door going into heaven, Jesus later on in this chapter, we just briefly read a little bit about it. Jesus says, oh, there is that door. That door is actually Jesus himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's only by embracing Jesus Christ now that you will, after this life, go directly to be in his presence. I don't know the full story of your life. I don't know what griefs you have right now, what fears you have, what difficult people you're dealing with, what tensions, stresses, or even your own internal struggle of dealing with your own sinful sin patterns. But I can tell you very much, based on this word today, Jesus is very much alive. He's enthroned in heaven. He's praying for us, sending his Holy Spirit. And if we're united to him by true faith, he's preparing a place for us. He says, "Trust me." Let us pray. How grateful we are, O Lord, for what you had written for us, for the assurance that you're working all things out for our good, including preparing a place for us. We pray for your Holy Spirit to indwell us, to give us a true living faith, so that we can truly look forward to being in your presence, both now and into eternity. In your name we pray. Amen.